make them pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them homeless, KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick them pod from MMA tapes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Pick 'em pod. Oh, I got a this little pimple right here, right in the old cleft palate there with my mustache growing and got a shave. What's up with the what's up? Huh? Welcome to Pick 'em Kansas City, I believe. Nice little card we got here for ya. Now, your boy's been ice. I'm aware of that, right? Ice, baby. I'm up personally. Because of the godsend of live betting, I did the little quarterly numbers. Been 4 months into the year, did the little first quarter numbers. Hasn't been the full fourth month yet. I get that, but I am up 164 personally, $164, so 1.6 units. Let's just say this time last year I was up a lot more, but at least I'm not down, which is good because of live betting. Now, obviously, in the Anakin Florian, I'm getting just butchered by old Ken Flo. Every max unit I've used either has been canceled or I've lost. It feels like every extra unit I've put on people have lost. I'm just not seeing it great. But here's the weird thing, right? Whenever you get in a cold streak or whatever, you try to change some things up. I wasn't a guy that like watched a ton of film. I always watch film, but never like I didn't obsess over it. Lately this year, I've been obsessed over it. So now I've dialed it back this week a little bit. Watch film, use the memory, use the old Midwest gut, use the stats to help me. And I've definitely pulled back a little bit on a million, you know, viewings of someone's fight footage and blah, 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 right? So we'll see how we do. And I got to be honest with you, and I don't want to get a little too ahead of myself here. I want to be a little too big for my bridges, as they say. But this kind of came easy to me, this card. Right? I mean, there's a couple spots that are struggle city for sure. And I'm not predicting I'll go perfect or I'm fucking just might. Hey. But I felt easy on this one. It felt like it was kind of just flowing. I didn't really second guess because when you get in a position like me, when you're a little bit cold, you want to be up, you want to do this, whatever. Thankfully, again, disclaimer, I am not a full-time handicapper. This isn't my job. I want it to be, but it's not. So I've never used the word professional handicapper when referring to myself. You'll never hear me. Even when I am a professional, you'll probably never hear me a professional. I also will never sell my picks, which actually has kind of backed me into a corner because I realized like there's a lot of cool things you could do with Patreon, right? And I would never want to charge you guys to watch me, but like I see other people have Patreons, right? And they get so much love and support from the community, you know, and I'm like, man, that'd be kind of cool. But then again, I don't want to take your hard-earned money. What, you don't need to pay to look at a schlub like me. You know what I mean? Oh, didn't turn my phone on vibrate. Here we go. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, we just released the Anakin Florian podcast parlay for DraftKings. Not sure if it's up on DraftKings yet, but it's a doozy. Plus 418. Got to imagine it's up there already. Yeah, why not? All right, here you go. Boom, DraftKings parlay. There it is. You probably can't see it on the phone because of the way the camera's set up. Tanner Bozier to win. Billy Q to win. Max Holloway to win. Plus 418. 4-1 on your money. Boom, inside baseball. There you go. There it is, babe. That's what it is on DK DraftKings. Use code ANIC. Use code ANF. Use code MMA Takes. I think there's a million codes you can use. Go do that, babe, huh? All right, Nate Diaz, Jake Paul got announced. I know that's the big news. August 5th, day after my birthday. I'll watch it. I'm not overly excited because, I just think Jake's the younger guy who has been boxing. And, you know, Nate surprises me all the time, but, it's not something I'm, like, super excited about right now. Maybe if it was, like, in a couple months, but, I mean, it's in August, which I feel like is 2 million miles away. It's 4 months away. You know what I mean? 4 fucking months away. Anyway, let's go. Chris, we took Chris Curtis, my guy getting a lot of hate online. A lot of people think he's a sore loser. He is a sore loser. And I like that he's a sore loser, because if you're happy with losing, then you're never going to get anywhere. You know, he's filing the appeal, which unfortunately I don't think he will win. You know, a lot of people are throwing out the Kevin Holland, Kyle Daukaus thing. You know, Kevin Holland got headbutted, then he got submitted, then they overturned that night. And there's a lot of variables here. I know Chris is hopeful, whatever. That second round was extremely close. Could have cost him a fight. I think he has a good argument. I understand a lot of people out there. I see on Twitter, my guy getting a lot of hate. I'm getting tagged in the hate by some fucking clowns. Word of advice for people, and this is including myself as well. I love getting in the mud, right? I love kind of arguing with people on Twitter. It's just fun sometimes. But now my new rule is, because you're a 36-year-old man, Brian, right? And as much fun as it is, let's try not to do it, right? So my new rule is, and this, you can take this rule and use it in your own personal life. You can also use it. Chris Curtis can use it or whatever. If you don't put your name on your Twitter, you don't put a picture, you hide behind anonymity, fucking nail that word, and you just say, you know, Poop House 12 or whatever the fuck your name is, and your picture is just, you know, generic MMA picture or even just an egg or whatever. I don't even care how many followers you have, because Twitter is hard to get followers. But if you have that, who gives a fuck what you say? I ain't responding to those people anymore. I used to get in the mud with people with an egg profile and just blah, 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 blah. And no matter what I say, you know, and again, I don't get worked up by it. I like have fun with it. But no matter what I say, they come back with something ridiculous and they won't acknowledge my points. And we're trying to have a friendly bait. I'm like, what are you doing, BP? What are you doing with this guy? Doesn't he have the balls to show his real face? Doesn't he have the balls to drop his real name? Doesn't have the balls for anything. Hides behind this fake, you know, protection of the internet that he thinks he has. So it's like, why waste time with that? And I think a lot of people attacking Chris actually have, you know, the real people who are giving their opinions or, you know, disagreements or whatever. But there are some that, like, I got tagged in by some fucking clown who pops up every once in a while on my feed that tags me and shit like that. And it's just like, what are we doing, right? Put your fucking nuts out. Be a man. Quit hiding behind fake walls and anonymity. And you know what I mean? I can say whatever I want. No one's going to track me, you little fucking rats. That's what you are. Rats. So if you have a name and you have a profile picture and you are candid about who you are, because I'm me. And Brian Petrie right here in the camera. I think I even said my address a couple weeks ago, right? You know what I mean? You can find me. I put myself out here every week. I don't give a fuck. Say whatever you want about me. I can take it. But when it comes from people who hide behind something, you ain't going to get it out of me anymore. I ain't going to spend my energy on that. All right? Speaking of that, I got very Ace Ventura hair right now. His hair's high hair right here. What should I do with this thing? Like punk rocker hair. All right. So Chris Curtis, I love you. You know, Nate Diaz was a sore loser, right? He never really lost. Everyone fucking loves him. I don't know why it's different with Chris. Do your thing, bud. I don't care. I love you to death. Do your thing. All right. First fight of the night, UFC Kansas City here, Midwest. I would have loved to go on this card because I would love to go to Kansas City. That's my kind of barbecue. I know Texas and Tennessee, everyone's got their own style of barbecue. I feel like Kansas City, I've never been to Kansas City, but I feel like Kansas City is right up my alley. All right, Jocelyn Edwards, +115 versus Lucy Padova. I love that. That's just such a guttural sound, Lucy Padova. Little surprise Jocelyn Edwards is the dog here, mainly because Padova has had a couple runs in the UFC. Hasn't been good. I mean, she lost to Antonina Shevchenko by rear naked choke. Lost to Justine Kitch. Neither of those women did very well in the UFC. I mean, you got Liz Carmarsh. She got Irina Adana lost, you know, split decision loss to Irina Adana. Those are some good wins. And then she comes back and beats Wu Yanan, finishes her TKO, gets her on the ground, pounds her out. Jocelyn Edwards is volume. You know, she is volume. 63% takedown defense, which is okay. I mean, Jessica Rose Clark, that was the fight Jessica Rose Clark was in AKA and decided, hey, I've been training with fucking Daniel Cormier. I'm going to take everyone down, right? I'm gonna take everyone down. She landed five takedowns and then fight for that. Carol Rosa landed four. Romina Pascal landed one. But in her last two fights, Edwards, 101 significant strikes and 164 significant strikes. She's not a finisher. She doesn't have a lot of pop on her punches, but the volume is there. And as long as we get that takedown defense, she's young, she's long, we get that takedown defense taken care of, she's a solid prospect. I think with the volume over time. She'll be there. Her age is right at the time where she's about to pop. I like her as a dog play here at plus 115. I think it's going to be a decision win. I think it's going to be over. Podolva's probably going to hunt for the takedown. That's the way she wins. She does like to strike a little bit. She does have some stand-up. Hasn't fared well in the past when she's done that. Edwards, I think, is superior on the feet. But I like Edwards here with just out volume, out grinding. I think she's going to give up at least one or two takedowns. Got to work back to your feet. Can't get stuck there. Can't get elbowed there. Can't get grounded out there like she did against Wu Yunnan. Similar opponent. Wu got finished by Lucy, and Jocelyn took her to the decision. Either way, I like Jocelyn here. Jocelyn Edwards, plus 115. Last week, I started the week off with a female dog in Sam Hughes. Let's start this week off with another female dog, little puppy dog, at plus 115. But let's go Jocelyn Edwards. Decision win. The props, I don't think, are readily available, which I should have checked before I started, because I got a green hammer play that is gorgeous, but I don't have like the official. I went to best fight odds, and they kind of give you what some books might open it up as. But, you know, here as of Wednesday afternoon, those aren't readily available to me. Yeah, see, it's not readily on DK. You know, DK is where I play. That's a cool little slogan. Next up, you got Gaston Bolonos. Bolonos? Gaston, I'm just distracted by his first name being Gaston. Gaston Bolonos, minus 190 versus Aaron Phillips, plus 160. Interesting fight. Interesting fight. I almost swallowed a whole goddamn ice cube right there. Oh, boy. Oh, I got that one out. All right, listen. Aaron Phillips, this is a guy who has a lot of canceled fights on his record, huh? This is a dude that just doesn't fight enough. He's reffing in, I think he's from Louisiana. Hasn't won in the UFC, got cut, went on and beat some no-name guys. You fight in the UFC, you fight a Sam Cecilia, you lose, you fight some guy I don't know. You go outside the UFC, you collect some wins. But you use that name to fight other name guys, right? To try to get back to the show. He's fighting 0-1, 1-0, 2-0, 9-5. He's getting wins over those guys. Somehow he gets invited back to the show, loses his comeback fight, and hasn't fought since. Four or five canceled fights. It's interesting to me. That's an interesting thing to me. That's something to keep an eye on, because I don't know what this guy's still doing on the roster. I mean, I guess these contracts are iron tight. You know, I mean, Sam Cecilia, Matt Hobar cut, comes back and loses to Jack Shore, which is okay because Jack Shore is an absolute stud. But Aaron Phillips, you know, 1989, not the youngest guy in the world, 135 pounds. He's fighting Gaston Bolonos. Bolonos? Christian's going to be killing me with the mispronunciation. Gaston, when your name's Gaston, and you grew up in the 90s like me, and you watched The Lion King, right? And Gaston was the bad guy. If your name's Gaston, you better be a dick-swinging, good-looking dude, and this guy fits the bill, right? I don't know about dick-swinging. I'm just going to assume, right? Little guys usually are piping it. But Gaston. This dude's a killer, and it's really odd because I looked up his career, didn't know much about him. Look him up, Peru, fights out of California, from Peru, fights out of California is what I meant to say. And he like did his whole career in Bellator, MMA and kickboxing, when Bellator did the kickboxing, Muay Thai, whatnot. Great striker, has a devastating spinning elbow knockout. I think his third MMA fight, second MMA fight, can't remember, on Bellator. Ran his whole career in Bellator. Dropped a couple ugly losses to Daniel Carey, and then he got that one back. Daniel Carey, not a great fighter. Lost to Solomon Haitley Jr., who is a good fighter. But other than that, it's like, why did they let this guy go? He's exciting. He's a striker. And that's what cures me. This is the only time I wish I was a journalist that could ask these questions, is Bellator usually does a really good job at bringing in talent that isn't known. Gaston was clearly a Muay Thai prodigy or Muay Thai specialist outside the MMA world, brought him in, did Bellator kickboxing, transferred to MMA, had a pretty okay career, some highlight knockouts in Bellator, and then he loses Daniel Carey, then beats Daniel Carey his last fight in Bellator, and then he's in the UFC now. Now, the UFC, in my opinion, aren't one of these guys that go out and they get kind of guys like these. They don't, like, open the checkbook for guys like these, so the only time I wish I was a journalist that could ask the questions, what is he doing in the UFC? I'm glad he's in the UFC. I think this is a great fight for him. Bring it out, the green hammer, baby. Here it is. I could smash this if I wanted to. Yeah, listen, you look at this. I know this could be googly eyes for your boy. I understand that. But Gaston doesn't go to decision. He's lost one fight to a decision. Aaron Phillips gets finished. He's been knocked out. He's fought lower level competition. He's been knocked out as an amateur. My thing is, you've been knocked out as an amateur, you're going to get knocked out as a pro. Aaron Phillips is probably going to be diving for some legs here. I think Gaston is going to figure out his takedown defense. And he's just action-packed. So I do not have a finish line for him, unfortunately. The props are not out right now. But what I can tell you is I'll send out a graphic for that. So what the Green Hammer play is right now is Gaston Bolanos, Aaron Phillips, under 2.5, minus 145. And on best fight odds, for Gaston to win by TKO KO was like plus 115. That's what it opened on some offshore book. So we're probably going to get a small chalk number on that, which is good. That's the real hammer play. But for right now, while I'm recording, for the purpose of this Green Hammer, it's going to be Gaston Phillips under 2.5. This ain't seeing the cards. Minus 145. And remember, this is a multi-unit prop play. We're 5-1 in the year. This one just jumped out of the page to me. That is an alternative play. The real play is going to be Gaston by TKO KO. You could double chance it. You can go TKO or by decision win. That's fine. I think he's winning this fight. Minus 190. We'll see what the price is. But again, multi-unit prop play. 5-1 on the year. Green Hammer. Power. Activate. Yes. I get so dorky with a hammer in my hand. Why? Why do dudes, when they get stuff in their hand, they got to twirl it and fucking act like it's some kind of weapon? I just, you know, whatever, dude. It's fucking badass. He has me. All right, next up, we got Bruna Brazil. Is it really? It looks Brazil. Versus Denise Gomes. Bruna is a kind of a favorite. The line is minus 180. Gomes is plus 155. I mean, she's kind of a favorite online. I asked people who their mortal lock was before we hopped on. See if anyone could guess mine. And a lot of two people said Bruna, which is interesting because she's making her debut. And you know, she's coming out of a head kick knockout over Marcinque Mann, which was a good win over in the contender series. Head kick knockout was brutal. She got knees and punches. She's got kind of wins everywhere. How old is she? 29 years old, 5'6", draw weight, obviously out of Brazil. Bruna Brazil, not fighting in Brazil would be a crime. The special one is her nickname. I've only seen the contender series fight. I don't have much to go off of besides that. She looked pretty good. And then you got Denise Gomes, who debuted in the UFC after the contender series spot where she won, and then she looked a little pedestrian and lost against Luma Lukabumi. And who can blame it? Luma Lukabumi's a fucking stud, little fucking dynamite elbows. And yeah, I like Bruna here. I don't have much of a lean on this fight. I think it could be a finish. I think Bruna could finish her. Both these women like to strike. Both are Brazilian. Brazilians usually get after one another. They kind of know the scene, you know, like, hey, you fought on jungle fights? Yeah, me too. Let's fucking scrap. You know, it's kind of how it is. But I like Bruna Brazil. I think I like what I saw in the contender series a little bit more of Denise Gomes. She is a significant favorite here at minus 180. I don't know if I'm going to play it because female fights, even though I know chicks, your boy knows chicks. Not sure how much I want to play this fight. A lot of other spots on the card, but give me Bruna Brazil. Next up, Groovy Lando Venata, plus 100 versus Daniel Zellhuber, minus 120. So this is hard for me. This is a fight where, again, I'm contradicting myself in the beginning when I said it was easy. This is the one that was a little hard for me because I had Zellhuber originally, crossed him out, went Lando Venata. And the reason being, Zellhuber laid such a fucking egg over Trey Ogden. Trey Ogden, who we all saw, has a good left hook, is stout for the division, big dude, veteran, has ways to win, but Zellhuber completely froze, got outstruck by the guy, and just looked like, you know, looked lost in there, right? Now, that could be motivation, because before that fight, he was a guy getting hyped up. A lot of people liked him, including myself. I think I might even more locked him. I did something along those lines. Maybe I sent him home. I put a lock on him, you know, idiotically. And then you got Lando Venata coming off a choke over Charles Jourdain, you know, where, you know, he just got his neck snatched. It's going to happen. Lando does have some wrestling. He is, you know, an awkward striker. I mean, he's never been knocked out. I don't see Zellhuber knocking him out here. Plus 100 is an interesting number. Give me Groovy Lando. I can't lock him up. I can't put him in anything significant parlay-wise because he's just a little unreliable. He's a very wild man. His fights are always close. If he doesn't get a finish, They're always super close. And Zell Hubertini, I think, has got to come out and prove, hey, froze last time, UFC jitters, whatever the fucking case, I'm the real deal. Zell Hubert, the bigger guy, bigger kicks. But Lando's so funky in there. He's been with all body types that I really don't think he's going to have much of a problem with the striking, unless Zell Hubert is who we thought he was, which has remains to be seen. So this was a tough one for me. I went dog shot in here. I went dog hunting here. I went Lando Venata. Probably by decision win. I think if he mixes his wrestling in with his striking, I think we're going to see a decision win here. And I just hope Zell Hubert, who was a young kid on the rise, 12-0, lost to Trey Ogden, complete fucking dud of a fight. I hope that he, you know, he rebounds well here, because, you know, I'm rooting for the kid. I think I like young talent, right? And I think, you know, we need young talent in MMA. This is a kid that a lot of people had stamped young talent, and he shit the bed. So let's see if he can do anything here. All right, next up, Pierre Rodriguez versus Jillian Robertson. Rodriguez is a plus 105 dog versus Jillian Robertson, minus 125. So, just like Lando Venata, how can you put your hard-earned money on Jillian Robertson? Great submissions, great grappling, but she doesn't show up all the time. Like, where's she at all the time? She doesn't show up. And her striking is not come a long way. It's just not there. She rushes the fight to the ground. And, you know, she's very good on the ground. She does a lot of grappling outside the UFC and is very good in that regard. But it's like, where's the improvements? Where are we seeing, you know, this girl take it to the next level, right? She's 27 years old, still young. I think she's still under Dean Thomas. Coming off two wins, rear naked choke wins, or excuse me, the one was over Rose, Maria Agapova in the second round before that decision loss to JJ Aldridge. This is a time where she just kind of falls behind a lot. She's been in there with some high-level girls, grappled with high-level girls. She's been around forever. You got Pierre Rodriguez, kind of a newcomer, 9-0, right? Not a lot of people know about her, from Panama. Born in Venezuela, fighting out of Panama. Comes in the UFC against Sam Hughes, or excuse me, Contender Series, Machado, Kay Hansen, Sam Hughes. That Sam Hughes win, you might think, oh, that doesn't mean anything, but Sam Hughes is a tough out. She decisioned her, but Sam Hughes is a tough girl to beat because she just doesn't go away. You know, look at Pierre's stats here, 83-69, six takedowns on Sam Hughes, three takedowns on Kay Hansen, and three takedowns on Machado. Now, I know a lot of people are like, well, okay, she's going to take Jillian down and completely be in Jillian's world. But I don't know how great Jillian is off her back. I think she's good. She can throw up a couple arm bars, but she wants to be in dominant position. She might have some good sweeps. She wants to take your back. She wants to be the hammer, not necessarily the nail. That's where her jiu-jitsu plays the best part. I'm going to go Rodriguez here, plus 105. Again, another dog women fight. I think this is close. It's not quite a bowl of spaghetti fight because I think both these women are very talented. I know there's going to be people out there with a strong opinion either side. So it's not quite bowl of spaghetti, but I do like the plus number on Pierre Rodriguez. I think that's a gorgeous number on her. So we're going to go Pierre Rodriguez plus 105. That is three dogs so far in the night. I have not picking dogs. And another thing I meant to say, so your boy's ice, right? Your boy's ice cold. I'm good at turning around. Trust me. That's what I do. Can turn things around. But I don't need to be the best. I've never claimed to be the best. You know what I mean? So if you're watching me, I appreciate it, right? So let's win some money. So fade me, right? I might be an auto fade at this point. That way you're winning some money. You know what I mean? All I care about is winning you boys money. I don't give a shit about anything. Well, I mean, I like that you watch me and it's entertaining and stuff like that. But let's win some money, okay? You don't have to tail my picks to lose. I mean, the slime ball is 2-6 on the air. It's fucking dreadful, right? Green Hammer 5-1. You can follow the Green Hammer. But let's win some money. Next up, this is... The matchmakers really outdid themselves here, boy. This is there ain't no gas in it fight.
It ain't got no gas in it.
Ed Herman, plus 190 versus Zach Cummings, minus 225. The fact that Ed Herman is still fighting in the UFC when he was on the Ultimate Fighter fucking 3. He made the finals the same year Bisping won. He lost in the finals with Kendall Grove, and he's still in the UFC. He's 42 years old. Believe he owns a gym. He's from Oregon. Not sure if he stayed in Oregon. You know, it's expensive to live out there on the coast or either coast. But I know he owned a gym, and he was going to retire, and then he came back. Now he fights like once, maybe twice a year to get a paycheck. And I got to admit, he's the slowest guy in the roster, bar none, the slowest guy. His takedowns aren't there anymore. He's at 205 now. He sports a gut. Cardio is But he can take a fucking shot still. He's with Lorenzo Minifield taking bombs, right? He's been knocked out, sure. But the chin usually is the first thing to go. Speed gone, right? Wrestling gone. Cardio gone. Chin still there. And he's never been the biggest power puncher, but I would assume power is there. You know, he's a bigger power puncher, 85, because 185 is bigger. Then you got Zach Cummings, right? This fucking guy, right? Used to fight 170 pounds. Then he went to 85. Now he's taking a long break from Kansas City. Ooh, hometown crowd. I'll pop on at 205 pounds. The guy's body's like a bowl of mashed potatoes at this point, right? Uglier than sin, but he's a decent little fighter. He wins fights. He wins more than he loses. He's 38 years old. This is a paycheck fight. This ain't got no gas in a fight. This is a fight that's so bad on paper that it might even be his worst when we watch it live. It could just be a hug fence against the fucking cage, right? But the reason I'm so excited is because they put this fight together. I mean, are you kidding me, right? Zach Cummings doesn't really have power since he moved up from 170. Ed Herman is the bigger guy. He could crack Zach, but Zach does have a good chin. I'm curious to see Zach's cardio at 205. It is just a slop dumpster fight, which I love. Just a slop fest here. I'm going to go Zach Cummings. I probably should take the old dog and the old road dog, Eddie Herman, at plus 190. But I just think Zach has a little more pop. He's a little younger. Even though he's filled like mashed potatoes, you know, he's got less miles on him. I think he can probably decision win Herman here. I hope it's a knockout. I hope it's a double knockout. I hope it fucking lights the roof off the place. That's what I hope, because it's such a funny matchup. But I'm going to go Zach Cummins, probably by decision. I'm going to be the buzzkill. I don't know if he can finish Herman again. He didn't carry his power up from 170. He's got a decent little guillotine choke. He might be able to submit Herman. So we'll see if Herman shoots him for a takedown, which I don't know if his back or knees will let him anymore. But give me Zach Herman. I can't help but smile when I break down this fight. I can't help but smile. Woo! We got one, boys. We got one. Next up, Brandon Rival, plus 180 versus Matias Nicolau, minus 210. Now, here's the dilemma that your boy is suffering.
Dead air.
This is something that the old Brian would have faded Nicolau. I don't think Nicolau's that great. I still think he lost a cop, but he's been proving me wrong every fucking time he steps in there. Thought the guy had a little bit of a chin problem. Whatever chin problem he had, he fucking fixed right on up. You know, comes out, Matt Snell, 32-20 knocks him out. David Dovrak, 36-39. Dovrak outlanded him. How the fuck he win that fight? Oh, he knocked him down once. Tim Elliott outlanded him 70-64 takedown. How is he winning these fights? Now Cobb outlanded him, but he landed 2 takedowns, split decision, right? But Dustin Ortiz got him way back when and he took some time off. But Nicolau is a guy who picks his strikes very deliberately, and when he lands, he usually lands the more powerful strikes. And I've been fading this guy forever. He's an exceptional grappler. That's where he wants to go, but he's getting more comfortable on the feet. He's not a volume guy. He picks his shots, and the judges love him. Then you enter Rawval, who is Timbo's guy. Listen, Timbo, you can go tweet at Timbo right now. Temptatious 10, is it? Yeah, Temptatious 10 on Twitter. You can go tweet him, and he'll deny it. Rawval's not my guy. It's his guy. It will always be his guy. No, he's a wild man, right? He's crazy. He goes out there. He wants to finish. He starts fast. Typically, when he starts fast, he does well, but then he fades. Nicolau's a guy you're not going to want to start fast with. I mean, you could start fast and try to blitz him and go all in on round one to try to get him out of there. He has been knocked out before. He has been overwhelmed before. He has been dropped before. And Rival can do that. He's very crafty on the ground. He's explosive. He's got good wrestling. But Nicolau, I just think, is a step ahead kind of fucking everywhere in Rival. I love watching Rival fight. He's got a nice number. A lot of people like Rival here in the dog spot. And I can't blame him. I think there's good value there. But, man, I faded Nicolau too much, and I think the guy's really good. I think he's on the cusp of title eliminator shot. He's just a guy kind of in the shadows that no one's talking about because doesn't overwhelm people off the page. I mean, he did knock out Schnell's last time out, which is nice, but give me Nicolau here. I like this spot. That's a slime ball candidate as well. I'm trying to switch things up. A guy who I faded, and normally I would just keep fading until I get it right. I'm switching the ways. I'm switching back on him. Maybe I'm seeing something I'm not. But this should be a fucking scrap here because Revol's always in an entertaining fight. I just hope he's got the gas tank to go. Next up, TJ Brown plus 180 again versus Bill Algeo minus 210. A lot of people like Bill Algeo in this spot. I understand why. Bill Algeo is a funky fighter. He's got good grappling, cardio on point. His striking is odd. Everything's odd about him, right? He does everything a little different. TJ Brown looked pretty good against Daniel Silva's last time out. Saw him in Vegas, looked big, looked strong. Who'd he switch to? He went to a camp. He left Arkansas. I forget what camp he's at now, but he's improved. Problem is Daniel Silva, he ain't just that guy, right? Bill Algeo is a tough out. Bill Algeo could maybe get taken out and get smothered here, but he's really good at getting back off his feet. He's also really good at his own jiu-jitsu. And TJ Brown, I don't think that's his game. TJ Brown's striking has come a long way, but his game is to get you down, get you on top. Look for a head and arm. Look for a naked choke. Smother you with his strength because he's a big boy for this weight. I just don't think that's going to work out for Bill Algeo. I think Bill Algeo's got another plans. Minus 210. I don't hate the number. I like Algeo here. Bill Algeo, I think, is a flying on the radar. I thought he beat Andre Fili in their fight. But give me Bill Algeo. Minus 210. I don't love it. It's going to be a decision win probably unless TJ Brown completely falls off his gas tank like he has in the past. Hasn't done that with the new camp yet, but if he does, Bill Algeo for late third round, second round finish. But I like Algeo by decision. No locks, no anything. By the way, I'm going to do locks all at the end of the show instead of kind of squeezing them in. The only thing I'll do pre-recap will be the Grand Hammer. I'll do the locks and then slime at the end. All right, next up, Clay Guida, plus 210 versus Hafi Garcia. Woo! And he is a minus 250, Hafi Garcia. So we broke this down on Anik and Florian. It's already up. And listen, Kenny and I both agreed on Clay. I'm rocking with Clay. Took me a little bit to get there. Hafi Garcia is a big, strong guy who likes to grapple, but I thought maybe he would. I thought he can probably clip Clay. He's a big, strong guy. Cub Swanson, we raised about how strong this guy is. He can maybe clip Clay on the feet. But then I'm like, yeah, but his hands are sussy. They're sassy, right? And he just wants to grapple. And that's the only time he's really done well in the UFC is when he's grappled. I mean, he does have power. He does have stand-up. But Clay has been adding volume and getting better on the feet. And he's awkward in there, right? And I think it's going to be a battle of who can take who down. Clay has been grappling a lot outside the UFC. He's 41 years old. Doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. Chin's still there. Cardio's still there. And I think that's the key here. ABC, always bet cardio. Plus 210 on Clay Guida. Yeah, I'm going to take it. I like just the pressure from Guida here to break Hafi. This could be a big coming out for Hafi. Hafi's been very inconsistent in the UFC. This could be his one where he's like, I'm a legit grappler. My cardio checks out and I can thump, right? This is a fight to do that in because even though Clay isn't a high level guy, big name, Hall of Fame name, right? So you could get in there and really rise your brand here, but let's see if you can. I think Clay is still motivated. It's going to be in shape. And got an awkward style with a stand-up, with his wrestling, that I think he's going to take over. And you're hanging a 210 on him? You're hanging a 210 on him? Yeah, I'm going to take it. Next up, Pedro Munhoz, plus 185 versus Chris Gutierrez, minus 215. Battle of the leg kicks, babe. Both these guys got great leg kicks. You know, Gutierrez has looked really good. This is a fight similar to a lot of these fights on the card now that are making me think, new versus young, right? Or new versus old, whatever you want to say. I wouldn't say old. You know, Pedro Munhoz is not old, but he's been around for a while. He's been in there with the big names. He's lost the big names. Chris Gutierrez hasn't had a shot. There's a difference between Dana Baccarat and Jose Aldo, right? I mean, Pedro Munhoz is losing the decision to Jose Aldo, getting his legs chopped off. Gutierrez is knocking out Dana Baccarat. Gutierrez is a guy I've criminally underrated. His striking is very good. His takedown defense, I think, is okay. Stats show that it's okay. I think his get-up game's better. Pedro, I would like to see wrestle. He's got great submissions, great jiu-jitsu. He looked refreshed in the O'Malley fight with the way the O'Malley fight ended. He was winning those early exchanges with O'Malley with the leg kicks and just the pressure and his movement. You know, O'Malley thought he was going to stand right in front of him. I like that approach here. Kind of move side to side. Don't get your legs chopped up. Switch stances when you can. Look for some takedowns. Mix everything up. Sometimes he gets in there and he just wants to fucking swang and bang, which is cool, but you got to mix everything up because you're the more well-rounded guy here. Gutierrez, I think, is a very good fighter. Striking is obviously devastating. He's very good on the feet. If you're Pedro Munhoz, you got to nullify that by mixing everything up and second-guessing them, and that opens everything up for you. So I'm going I'm going Pedro Munhoz here at plus 185. I picked this on Eric and Florian as well. Kenny and I split. He likes Gutierrez, but I think the number on Pedro is too good. This is a classic Font versus Yanez. I picked the young guy in Yanez, and Font, who had the better record, who was coming off some ugly losses, he showed there's levels, right? So this is kind of a wake-up call for me, is Gutierrez with his minus 215 is not a crazy big number, and he has shown to be a stud so far in the UFC against Munhoz, who's not winning so much. But you got to go dog shot with Munhoz here. Plus 185, you know, I like that number. Next up, Ian Kutalaba versus Tanner Bozier. Bulldog Bozier. Bozier coming down to 205 here. Long overdue. He was 230, 220 at heavyweight. Cut to 205. Looks phenomenal on Instagram from when I see him. And Ian Kutalaba, I don't understand the line here. Is there something that Vegas knows that we don't? Ian Kutalaba has shit the bed more than my daughter, right? You know what I mean? This guy gets nice numbers next to his name and you know, either plus side or what, and he gets a ton of fights in the UFC, and he's just not that good, right? He's a wild man, right? He eats nails for breakfast, sure, but when he gets in the cage, he's a moron, no fight IQ, you know? His grappling's good. We only saw it against Devin Clark, and he stops using it. You know, stand-up is average. Tanner Bozier's biggest weakness is his takedown defense, right? Tanner Bozier gives up a lot of takedowns. Look at the Roger Nascimento fight, which I lost my fucking shirt on. Speaking of shirts, Matt Serra, Ray Longo. This is a Serra Longo fight team shirt, courtesy of Matt Frivola, order off millions.co. Thank you, Matt Frivola. Anyway, Bozier has obviously had problems with his takedown. So Ian Kutalaba can come in here and grapple, sure, but will he? Probably not. Can he do it for three rounds? I don't know. Against a bigger, thicker guy. I know they're both at 205, but Tanner's fought the heavier guys, has fought the heavier punchers. So I don't see a problem with Bozier. I'm going Bozier plus 105. I mean, that's, you could dog lock that up all day long. I'm not right now. I'll show you at the end. But yeah, a Bulldog Bozier. What am I missing? What am I missing, people? What does Vegas know that I don't know? Okay? I got to get some inside information. You know, got to start calling some guys. Figure out what the hell they know, because that's way too low of a number. I mean, Bozier shouldn't be in the plus. I mean, maybe pick them since they're low and consistent, but Ian Kutalaba, huh? I mean, the guy spends more time painting himself up for the weigh-ins than he does actually in the cage. What are we going to do? All right, next up, Justin Jacoby, minus 165 versus Azmat Morozikov, plus 140. All over Jacoby here. Very confident. Not going to lock him up. Spoiler alert. Morozikov, 12-0. If he wrestles, I think he'll be dynamite. His striking, I think, is a little predictable. He's landing these big shots against lower-level competition. He's finishing them. Jacoby's a K-1 kickboxer, regardless of how good he was. He's been in there with some really good guys. Very active in the cage. Cardio's checking out. Takedown offense is getting better. But Azmat has a Sambo background. If he takes Jacoby down, it could get interesting. Will he do that? I don't know. He's a little undersized at 205, in my opinion. I'm sure he's strong. But Jacoby's big. He's going to be just pacing him. You know, just, it's going to be a decision. I'm going to bounce this guy's head off all over the place, land 100-something strikes on him. Third round, he's going to need his comeback victory like he's had in his last two fights, and it's not going to be there. Give me Jacoby by decision here, minus 165. I love that number. It's coming down too, I think, slightly. Give me Jacoby. He's a slimeball candidate. Slimeball candidate right there. Give me Dustin Jacoby. Next up, and it should be Justin, by the way. Change your name to Justin. Edson Barboza, plus 150 versus Billy Q, minus 175. Woo! So when I submitted this morning, who's everyone's mortal lock? Overwhelmingly, Billy Q. Now, does that mean Billy's got all these fans, or is this a good matchup for him? I think both. I think he's got a lot of fans. I think it's a good matchup for him. Billy isn't... like, his takedown offense isn't as great as I would want it to be fighting a guy like, I mean, 24% takedown accuracy, fighting a guy like Edson Barboza, right? I mean, he is all volume, all output, Billy Q, tough as nails. But Edson struggles with pressure, but he also struggles with pressure in guys that can get him down and smother him, and then he wears out, right? The 145 cut at 37 years old cannot be fun. Look at Billy Q's last fight. 87 strikes, significant. 2 takedowns over Alex Hernandez. Finished him in the second round. The Shane Burgos fight, 164 to 193. Absolute fucking war. Those two dudes in landed that many strikes in three rounds. And then Gabriel Benitez, he landed over 100, KO'd in the third round. Gavin Tucker, he fell a little short there. He just got pieced up. Gavin Tucker also landed 7 takedowns. And then, you know, just volume is the answer here for Billy Q. You know, Billy Q, the only time he didn't really throw a lot of volume was in the Spike Carlisle fight. 49 significant strikes to Spike's 37, but he did land 2 takedowns and just kind of hurt him and outpaced him in that fight. Going Billy Q. Slimeball candidate. Now, the reason this is a slimeball candidate is because my beautiful Twitter followers said this is their moral lock. Your boy's struggling. Your boy's hurting. Your boy needs a win. Billy Q in the slimeball. Yeah, I like this fight for him. I picked him on the Anakin Florian's where pressure makes diamonds, and I just don't know if Edson has it. I am worried about the body kicks. Billy does get hit a lot, walks through a lot of them. You can't walk through a ton of Edson's stuff. His kicks are deadly. His leg kicks are rough. His body kicks are rough. His hands are getting better as well. I mean, that's Shane Burgos. So Edson here at plus 150 is an interesting dog shot, but this is a step up, level up for Billy Q. He fell a little short against Shane Burgos, which is an absolute dog fight. You go 5 rounds, Billy Q wins that fight. This is a 3-rounder. Edson isn't known for amazing cardio. You can put a pace on him. You can hurt him. Cut the cage off. Don't let him get his fancy footwork going. Watch out for the kicks. Smother him on the kicks and land your shots. And Billy's not a one-punch knockout guy. It's overwhelming power. He does have power, don't get me wrong, but it's more overwhelming. I'm going to hit you fucking 9 times. You're going to drop for one of these, right? It doesn't have to be one shot. I'm going to get you 9. So give me Billy Q, slimeball cannon. All right, main event. Max Holloway, minus 180 versus Arnold Allen, plus 25. Line's moving a little bit here. This is first class, A-plus main event matchmaking here. Arnold Allen, huge step up. This is what we need from Arnold Allen, right? This is a guy who got forgotten about. Got forgotten. Did I say that right? Fought once a year, injuries. He was fighting once a year. Then he's coming off 2 finishes over high-level guys. Dan Hooker, Calvin Kattar, kind of back-to-back, taking this fight on a little quicker than he normally would. This is what we need. I know he's a thick 45er. I know weight cut's probably not fun. He's 28, though. So maybe this was designed. Like, hey, we're going to slow play this kid. Let's not lose his chin. Let's not abuse his body. When he's ready, he's ready. And he's gotten leaps better from when he debuted now. Good wrestler, good grappler, has some submissions. Striking, it seems, what he wants to do now. He's a tricky southpaw. He's a southpaw that throws heavy, and then when he clips you or when he explodes on you, he squares himself up to use both hands. Very unorthodox. I'm getting technical now, right? Stand southy, can switch a little bit, but it's just all power, right? Speed and power. He's very fast, way faster than I thought. When I watched the Calvin Kattar fight, I was like, oh, this dude fast. Max Holloway, not a fast guy. Not the fastest guy in the division. Long for the division. Sticks things out there, but combinations are good. His timing's great. He reads people really good. This is going to be an interesting test for both guys. Can Arnold Allen keep that explosive power for 5 rounds? Max has never been knocked out. You know, Max, it's been a while since he's been finished, but he's never been knocked out. The only time he's ever been finished by submission. Can Arnold Allen do that for 5 rounds? That's a big question. This is his first 5-round main event, prove it kind of fight. Max, we know, can go 5. He can piece you up for 5. He can volume to death. We got power versus volume. We got a guy who's got a fucking one of the best resumes in the UFC. We got an up-and-coming guy that everyone loves. What are you going to do here? I don't think there's a wrong answer for anyone. My answer is Max Holloway. I think Max Holloway volume's better. His experience is better. I'm really curious to see if Arnold Allen's going to wrestle, because that's a part of Max's game we haven't seen in a while. We haven't really seen Max wrestle much. We haven't seen him grapple. And that's what I want to see. I want to see how he's fixing those, because he's had problems in the past with those. And I want to see how he's fixing that. I want to see how Arnold Allen does to control himself, because you can't explode on Max and think he have him hurt and unload the clip in the first round, because Max might weather that storm and come back and then you're dead tired. You got to manage risk here, right? And I think he kind of did that with Calvin Kattar. I mean, Dan Hooker, he just let it go because Dan Hooker was on skates. But here, I think you got to do it. So this is such a prove it fight for Arnold Allen. And I love Max, right? Max is one of my guys. But if you're Arnold Allen, right, and you're an MMA fan, him winning this opens up 45 so much more. So secretly, as an MMA fan, I'm rooting for an Arnold Allen dub, because that's going to open things up just that much more. You know, it's going to make 145 exciting. Not that it isn't. It already is. But Arnold Allen, if he goes out there and he finishes Max, imagine, I mean, sit out. You get Volkanovski or Yair next. You know what I mean? Well, what are we doing? But I like Max, the old vet here. I think he's going to get it done. I think he's just too good, too clean. I think this might be a lesson learned. I also like Max maybe late finish, third or fourth round, maybe even fifth round, kind of a cardio thing here for Arn Allen. We'll see, though. Arn Allen has proved me wrong so many times, so we'll see. All right, that's it. That's the card. Let's go over locks. So Green Hammer, Gaston Bolanos by knockout. Bolanos by knockout in the plus, maybe minus. Under 2.5 is minus 145. Mortal lock, Matthias Nicolau, actually. I really like that matchup for him. I think he's kind of going to be better everywhere as long as Ravel's crazy slows down. If the crazy can keep up for three rounds, we're in problems. But Matthias Nicolau, mortal lock. Dog lock, Pedro Munhoz. Pedro Munhoz, that's a juicy number on a guy as good as Pedro Munhoz, who just fights killers after killers after killers. Plus 185 for Pedro Munhoz is chef's kiss. Got to throw him in the dog lock. Send him home. Tanner Bozier by knockout. I think it's plus 145. TKO knockout. I think he's going to wear down Ion Cutelaba. Maybe clip in the first round, but I see a second, third round finish for Tanner Bozier at 205 pounds. So that is send him home. Tanner Bozier. Dog lock, Pedro Munhoz at plus 185. Mortal lock, Matthias Nicolau at minus 210. Slime ball parlay. Ready for this? Billy Q for the people. Billy Q for the people. We got Dustin Jacoby, I think. Is that who I got in there? Nope, I lied. Not Dustin Jacoby. Not him. I switched it up on you. Here we go. Let me restart. Billy Q. Billy Q for the people. Matthias Nicolau. Tanner Bozier. At plus money in the slime ball parlay. That gives you plus 374. Almost a 4-1. Then you got a 4-1 on the Anakin Florian on DK. The podcast parlay. Woo! We got money coming in today, boys. We got money coming this weekend. All right, thank you. Subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. Let's get over 2K. Club 2K, baby. Let's go. Right? We're right there. We're on our way. We're getting subscribers. People are listening. People are watching. Even though I fuck up the video more times than not, you guys are the best. Brian Petrie MMA on all social medias. Hit me up. Follow me. Let's do it. And yeah, that about it. Let's get that money.
Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Some picks with our man Brian Petrie.